Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm new here. Missed three Sundays, but I'm glad to be back. We're glad to be back, and especially on this special Sunday. Obviously, this is a one worship service Sunday, which is out of the ordinary. And we're delighted that if you came at 9:15, you hung around and are here for a 10 o'clock worship service. And it's special because this is our church picnic Sunday. Immediately following this service, we'll invite you to go right out on the lawn, and we're going to hold our church picnic there. We're very grateful to Marge Rice and her crew who are putting on all the food for this. Thank you. It's special because college students are back. At CSU, perhaps we have some college students who are visiting here in our midst this morning. If so, welcome. We're delighted you're here and hope that you'll stay around for free food at the church picnic in just a few minutes. But welcome to all of you for whatever has brought you here. Our theme this morning is really about, did you know, a project that has been ongoing for the last 6 months. And more about that in a few minutes. But we wanted to have a Hawaiian kind of a theme. And I have a Hawaiian shirt on, but I'm too cold to take my fleece off. So I don't know how exactly fleece and, you know, Hawaiian leis and Hawaiian shirts go, but I'm going with this, and I also have socks on my open-toed sandals. I don't have any fat on my body, and I'm really freezing this morning. Oh my gosh. A lot of great things going on in the life of our church. And one of those things is that we're about to do startup for children's ministry and for something that we call midweek experience. And in children's ministry, we're needing some assistance for children's Sunday school classes in the 9:15 hour. And if you are willing and able to be able to give some of your time to that, please contact Alice Crawford, our children's ministry director. I really would love that help. Now let me tell you about the midweek experience before we enter into worship this morning. And lest I forget it, please sign in. We would love to know who's here this morning and to have a record of that. And if you're our guest, we have welcome bags out here on a rack. Please take one as our gift to you so you do be able to learn a little bit more about who we are. Beginning on Wednesday night, September the 9th, that's easy to remember, 9/9/2015, things will be a bit different. We will begin on that evening to have this, what we're calling midweek experience, as a very important time for the church to be together outside of Sunday morning. A time that is dedicated to friendship and relationships, and also for drawing near in connection to God for all ages. That's something that you've done here before. But the difference is, this time, is that we're about to call a new senior pastor. It's about time for me to transition out as your interim pastor and for you to welcome a new pastor in your midst. And all of that happens in and through and around relationships and being together as a church family and being dedicated to be in connection with God. This is so important that we have asked youth ministry to move over from a primetime Sunday night to Wednesday night. And that is, I know, causing some of you families some adjustment or costliness. And we are bold to ask you, please make the sacrifice because it's just that important. Please, every single Wednesday night, let's gather together. We'll start serving food at 5:15. It'll go until 6:30 serving, so you can come anytime in that time. There will be activities for all ages, children, youth group, bells, but there will be adult classes. You'll see a listing of them on the back of the insert that's in your bulletin. We have not been able to provide very much in this area because of our Sunday schedule. Please come Wednesday nights. That's my appeal to you. You've got a couple weeks to think about it, plan for it. But 9/9, remember that. Be here that evening, we hope. Okay, I'm going to set that aside, set aside all the announcements, and now I invite you to stand for the call to worship. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord, how profound your thoughts. You, O Lord, are exalted forever.
Thank you. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. We remember God's great love and Jesus Christ's great sacrifice on our behalf. And because of that, we can be bold in confessing our sin and brokenness, our struggles and failures, to our gracious God who loves to forgive. Let us pray together, first in silence, and then together praying the prayer that's in the bulletin. Let us pray. Now, Lord, hear us as we pray together. Eternal and merciful God, you have loved us with a love beyond our understanding, and you have set us on paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Yet we have strayed from your way. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, through what we have done and what we have left undone. As we remember the lavish gift of your grace symbolized in baptism, O God, we praise you and give you thanks that you forgive us yet again. Grant us now, we pray, the grace to die daily to sin and to rise daily to new life in Christ, who lives and reigns with you and in whose strong name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul writes, "If God is for us, who can be against us? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us." We remember that the only one who is in position to condemn us is the one who sacrificed himself for us and even now intercedes for us. Remembering Christ's past and current actions on our behalf, we can be assured of the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. So, friends, hear and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and made righteous. Amen. Please be seated.
Scripture this morning is taken from two verses that precedes one of the most oft-quoted Old Testament passages, the one about rising up, you know, from being faint and weak and soaring on wings like eagles. We pay less attention to the verses just before that, verses 28 and 29. For they have to do with the context in which God is speaking of his promise of this renewal, this restoration by which we would be able to soar like birds. Hear now, Isaiah 40, verses 28 and 29. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Beloved, this is the word of the Lord. Context in Isaiah 40 is that the people of Israel are complaining. And they are saying things like, God just doesn't care. We see no signs of his presence. He's left us. We're irrelevant to him. We're not in his line of vision. To which God responds to the prophet Isaiah, chiding them by the asking of two questions.
And it's interesting. The Hebrew verb in the one question is past tense. Have you not heard? Meaning, have you not heard of what I have done in the past? And then the question changes to a present tense. Do you not know? Do you not know what I'm doing right now? Now, Isaiah goes on and he expands it. He gives evidence for what he's saying. He says, God is the eternal God, which means that he has no beginning and he has no end. It's inconceivable to us. There is no beginning to God. He is not in process, changing daily. God is God, the Almighty, the only God, the one and true God, the eternal God, who is not limited by time, who is not bound by time, who stands outside of time, but moves freely to act in time. The one who is always present to his people because he so promised. He is always faithful because he promised. And then he says, not only that, but God is the creator of all that is. All that we can see and all that we can't see. All that we understand and all that we don't understand. From nanoseconds to the tiniest particles that make up mass. He is the source and the ruler of it all. He sustains it and maintains it moment by moment. It's astonishing. The creator of all the earth. And then he appeals to the fact, and God is not like us. We grow weary. We grow faint. But he never does, because of lack of nourishment or lack of rest like we do. We are finite and he's not. And his point, of course, in saying these things is that if you can't see what God did for you before, and if you can't see it right now, that he is on the move and working, it may be because God is in part incomprehensible to us. But it certainly is also because we're blind by our choices. We're fallen creatures, and we lose sight because of self-centeredness, because of doubt, because of a whole host of things that the curse of sin has done to us. I think we too easily doubt how much God cares about this church. And I mean that. I really mean that. It's easy to grow weary with doing church, especially in an age where sort of a movement today, kind of people moving away from the local church. It's easy for that to happen. It's really easy to believe that we probably don't make much difference as a local church, especially in light of how enormous the issues are in our world today. We can't even pretend that we make such a big difference. But I think deep down inside, I think our fear is that we really think God has become uninterested in us. Maybe we're irrelevant to him. Maybe his best attention is given to the churches that are booming, that have lots and tons of young people in them. Which brings me back to the two questions. Have you not heard about how God has been on the move in this church in its past? Did you know? Do you know where God is on the move right now here? The Did You Know Project was ask you to tell me stories, instances, insights, awareness, anything of evidence that God has been at work here. What I have to share with you today came from you. Things that are important to you, with a couple of things that I've thrown in that are important to me. So let's start. Have you not heard that God has been on the move in this church? That it was founded 143 years ago, 2 days from now, August 25th, 1872, under the leadership of a man named Sheldon Jackson, who was one of the great American Protestant missionaries of all time, Presbyterian, founded 27 churches right here in Colorado in the 1870s and 80s before he moved up to Alaska. He gathered together 13 people, founded the church. That in the American church in Paris, where a former pastor from here, Scott Herr, now pastors as their senior pastor, there's an 8-foot stained glass window in there with the inscription underneath, one of the great Christian saints, Saint Sheldon Jackson. You see, they understand the enormity of what he did. He was the guiding light that started this church. Was God in that? Yeah. You probably know First Presbyterian has always been a downtown church. It's moved around. This is its third location. It's always been a downtown church. I would dare say that as the will of God for First Presbyterian Church, that he has use for and purpose for us being right here. Did you know that 6 of the most important people who founded this church were also 6 of the most important people in the founding of Fort Collins? One and the same. They were in on the ground floor. They were, in this case, men of great bearing who lived their lives decently and in order, what Presbyterians are known for. And the evidence of it is that, of course, the streets are named after them. 6 of the 12 most notable north-south streets down here in Old Downtown are named after founders of the Presbyterian Church here. You know the names. Mason, Peterson, Matthews, Wedby, Smith, Stover. All of them in the first 10 years of the founding of the church gave clear guidance into the life of this church. Did you know that 4 of those men were also on the agricultural colony that drew farmers here from all over the country and the world to farm the lands? They created the system of the homesteading for these particular farmlands around here. And that 3 of those 4 actually were part and parcel of the founding group of people who started the agricultural college that we now call Colorado State University, simultaneously with the founding of this church. Same people. And did you know that in every city around the world, it is out of its founders that something of DNA gets placed in the very heartbeat of a city? That something of the goodness and righteousness of Fort Collins arose in congruence with the First Presbyterian Church. It's no small matter. Did you know that William Waterus, one of the first members, became responsible for this whole area becoming a great cherry and fruit growing area, which it was known for up until just recent decades? Did you know that First Presbyterian was instrumental in the planting of Harmony Presbyterian Church, Westminster Presbyterian Church, and the gathering in Windsor, Colorado. In the same spirit of mission and of sending, did you know that First Presbyterian has been involved in Sitka, Alaska, and Chinle, Arizona? It's been involved all around the world in Jos, Nigeria, and Liberia, Ghost Ranch in New Mexico, the American Church in Paris, and on, that today, First Presbyterian Church's influence is known in the dispersion of our people in countless congregations all over the world, and even all over Fort Collins. Some leaving because of dissent, because of bitter, hard times here in this church, but nonetheless, by the providence of God, blessing other churches right now. An unintended sending, yeah, but a sending that has made the church better in Fort Collins and the surrounding area. That's about God. God being able to make something, even out of our troubles. Did you know the church's first building campaign was in 1876, the year we became a state? And we bought a little piece of land at the corner of Linden and Walnut for $25 and built a $1,700 building on it. And that 2 years later, the first evidence that we have of the state of the economy of the church, we had a checking account with 63 cents in it. So we're always struggling with money, huh? Okay. Did you know that First Presbyterian was instrumental in forming of Church World Services here in Fort Collins in the 40s, out of which came the Crop Walk, and that has been responsible for the feeding of thousands and thousands of people? Did you know that in 1960, this church was recognized nationwide as being in the category of churches that had 1,500 to 2,000 members, that it was the second highest percentage of income being given to mission in all the country, in all the churches in all the country. That's amazing. Highest percentage of income coming into the church being given to missions. This church has always been a mission church. Did you know that Human Services here in Larimer County asked one of our members to design a program that eventuated in two community life centers that still today serve the needs of displaced families, and out of which came Faith Family Hospitality, which now serves the homeless here in the city. Came, arose out of a kernel of investment, sourcing, and ingenuity of one of our members. Or that there was a summer when our congregation arose to meet a tremendous need among migrant workers in Weld County, you know, county over. And we served meals and provided transportation and did daycare for the migrant workers' children all through that summer. That one of our members, Dr. Charles Shepherdson, used to be on the Federal Reserve Bank. I didn't know that till about 3 weeks ago. And that when he left being the dean of the School of Agriculture at Texas A&M, he came here and he became the head of the building committee that built this sanctuary out of the moss rock from the Davis Ranch. 1,000,000 pounds of rock that many of you in this church moved here that would become the outer structure of this. And that the architect for the interior of the church actually designed the interior of the Air Force Academy Chapel and the United Nations Chapel in New York City. Did you know Holmes Rawson, one of the people in our congregation, a professor at CSU, is one of the most renowned philosophers in the world and won the prestigious Templeton Award a few years ago for his work in environmental ethics. Cleon Kimberling, another CSU professor, part of our congregation, is one of the most renowned authorities on sheep disease in all the world. And it has taken him to the little people of the world who raise sheep in Slovenia, in Siberia, in Great Britain, in Kenya, Romania, wherever sheep are still raised. Did you know that Jim Ells, another one of our professors from CSU, has written one of the greatest books on Rocky Mountain flora? That's what it's called. It's in its second edition. And that he did all of the highly detailed work in that book. That he knows an enormity about flora and wildflowers in particular in Colorado. Did you know that our Boy Scout troop is one of the oldest in all of this region, all of Colorado and the Front Range? Now, some of these might not seem to you as being really all about God at work, but I see God's handiwork all over all of that. God has been on the move here, and these are just some of the stories you have told. The second question is, did you know? Do you know that God is on the move now? Do you know that Realities for Children, which was formed by one of our members, Craig Secker, is considered the premier agency in this region for providing support to children with learning and physical disabilities? Did you know that we provide a facility and a host of volunteers for Make Backpack, which last year, during the school year, put together and gave away 9,000 bags of groceries for children who are in need? That our building is used weekly by 12 different organizations, including Bible Study Fellowship, which ministers to over 500 women weekly in Bible study. Did you know that First Presbyterian Church, in helping and really being the guiding light in forming the Peanut Butter House in Liberia, has saved at least 895 children's lives? Presently today is feeding 52 malnourished children, back, nursing them back to health so that they can be productive, healthy adults. This in a nation with 90% unemployment. Did you know that today, that because of live streaming, which we put into place just over a year ago, that people all over the world are worshiping with us right now, including people from this congregation on business trips in Europe, in Asia, Africa, and Latin America? Did you know that the foundation, the First Presbyterian Church Foundation, has an endowment that has been worth about $1 million, but just a few weeks ago received a gift of $500,000 from the estate of the Davis family, the ones who gave us the mossy rock that the sanctuary is built in? $500,000 of unrestricted money that's gone in the foundation, which can be used now for projects, for new ventures, for ministry. An amazing legacy. And did you know that you can do the same thing if you want to? That you can give a gift that keeps on living and giving after you're gone? Did you know that Beth Seaworth leads the funeral committee? And the funeral committee provides loving care for families of deceased people. Did some 25 services last year. Averages about 14 a year. And that it, in the last year, created 42 gallons of lemonade, 68 bouquets of flowers, 28 gallons of coffee, and hundreds of dozens of cookies. But most of all, created a space in which people could grieve and love one another. That is no little thing for those of you who have lost loved ones. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said, when people would say to the Lord himself at the day of judgment, would say, when did we visit the lonely? When did we care for those who were oppressed? When did we give you a cup of cold water? He said, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. That's what you do. Did you know that the King Soopers grocery card program we started in May has contributed $2,330.82 to our electric bill? We told you we wanted to keep the lights on, and that's what you're doing. Now, we've spent $4,947 on electricity during that time, and so it would be great when we get it up to the point where we are really paying the electric bill for every month. But what you're doing is preserving money for mission by doing that. Did you know that when our TI boys, Alex and Sunday, were here recently from Liberia, a couple in the church found out that they were in need of some things. They went out and purchased brand new Dell laptops for them. Because that's what you do. When you see a need, you meet it. Did you know that Dr. John Colley and his wife Sarah were led here to this church by God because of Faith Alive? Because they were supporters of Faith Alive, and they found out this church was involved with Faith Alive. And they came here, and partly because of that same spirit with which Faith Alive operates and that we have cooperated with, that John has built into his practice as a doctor a great heart for the underserved and the uninsured. You had a hand in that. Did you know that God has been at work in Walt Schuchman's life, one of our elders, since they have come here to this church, that his eyes have been opened more and more to international missions by people like Lynn and Carol Norstadt, and by what's happening in Africa, by the MOC Center and Plant with a Purpose? Did you know that there's somebody in this congregation who chose to and continues to pay the annual salary of an important surgeon in Uganda? That Jim Fisher volunteers almost every week, 3 days per week, at Habitat for Humanity. That Tom Kristen is on the board of Faith Family Hospitality. That Tom Tinoli has been on the board of Project Self-Sufficiency. That Erica Nosikoff has been the primary American Interface Director for Faith Alive, and now is a key director for Habitat for Humanity here in Larimer County. Did you know that our library committee last year spent thousands of hours to make resources available to you from the library that they inputted in a computer every name and a barcode so that resources are more able to be accessed, used, and brought back by you? One person wrote me and said, did you know that because of how this congregation has sought to try to come out of that time of great division that we had, that whether it's a he or a she, I don't know, he or she has become more tolerant of people with whom he or she disagrees. Without having to come to agreement with those people, she has come to value, or he has come to value, those folks. One of the members of our session is impacted greatly by the spirituality of the other members of session around him, and that his insights in the scripture are growing because he's an elder working alongside of them. That the Jensens put their arms around a young couple in grave need that were really hitting a bad place, where life was really scary about 3.5 years ago, took them under their wings, their umbrella, cared for them, helped them get on their feet here in Fort Collins. One young woman wrote, First Presbyterian has been my congregation for about 6 years now. Since then, I've had great friendships. I've been challenged in my faith. I've been involved in some pretty amazing things. To me, FPC is my family. I know I can go to multiple people in the congregation for prayer, support, and laughter when needed. We have created some of the greatest friendships here, and we would not change that for anything in the world. My faith and life would not be where it is today without this church. It's our family. This is where we stand, and this is where we'll stay. But small groups have changed many of your lives. Did you know that WING stands for Women in God's Service? I didn't know that. That they packaged 20-some health kits for people undergoing disaster. That yearly they compile 2 to 3 layettes from maternal assistance programs. They make chicken noodle soup to be given to members who are ill or coming home from the hospital. They serve brunch to the choir on Easter. They gather books for underprivileged children. They take field trips to learn from other charities and churches how they help people who are struggling. Did you know our deacons pack dozens of bag lunches for people who walk in need off the streets? Or that the Humblebees make and give a baby quilt to new or adopted babies for women at Crossroads, Highland Presbyterian Camp, dorm room beds, and underprivileged babies at MCR? Did you know we have a group called the Tea Ladies who have taken 65 tea parties to shut-ins, cutting people's sense of loneliness? Did you know that Alyssa Johnson was awarded Excellence in Education Award in March by the Poudre School District Foundation? That our MOPS group has grown a lot in the last year and has a vision in partnering with this church to help reach young moms. And that a number of those moms who have not really had a church home have begun attending here. Did you know that the midweek experience that we're putting in place, that's about to start up, will meet two critical needs? One is the opportunity for adults to grow in their faith, to have more places, entry points where that can happen. And secondly, a place where all the generations can fall in love with one another. There's hardly anything that we're doing that's more important other than worship. So the last one I want to share with you, I'm going to read it, just as I did that other testimony, because this was the very last one that was submitted, and it says volumes about this church. Quote, 10 years of domestic violence stopped me in my tracks. I withdrew from society, and I was afraid. I stopped talking to friends and many others. I went to work. I came straight home because I didn't want anyone to know how afraid I was or the way I was living. God drew me to First Presbyterian Church. People here showed me open and welcoming, that which we're striving to attain again. I saw it in them. They welcomed me and embraced me, and I knew right away I belonged here. The congregation supported me in so many ways during such a difficult time. It was those who came forward to share their own stories of domestic violence with me. The times some personally spent at Crossroads Safe House and really knew what I was going through, and then shared how God had worked miracles in their own lives to bring them where they are now. They shared their faith and hope in the Lord in ways I could not imagine in my darkest days. Congregants spoke to me about their own downfalls, losing their children to drugs and alcohol, and how addictions can change people. They spoke to me to try to help me understand. The people of the church made sure I was never alone, that there were people to take care of my children and me, to protect us and remind us that we're loved and children of God. They listened, prayed, sent thoughtful random notes, poems, cards of encouragement, or dropped off something because they cared. They offered advice, resources, and wisdom for me without a family. I knew I did not have to feel alone again. The staff supported me. They spent countless hours praying and listening to me. People have offered food, shelter, toys, clothes for my kids, babysitting, car rides, and an outpouring of prayers and support. They've shared with me so many personal stories, and I know I would not be where I am today without all of them. I feel a spirit in me rising, and I am at am ready to live life to the fullest again. The congregation gave me back my life, and for that I will be forever grateful. Did you know that the incarnate Lord Jesus, fully God and fully human, has chosen to make his dwelling here? And that by his incarnation, his suffering, his crucifixion, resurrection, ascension into heaven, and his intercession for us today, and in the sending of the Holy Spirit to us, that he has made possible that we might give our life to the world around us, that they might know the life of Christ Jesus, Redeemer of all. Did you know that? But that's not changed. That is exactly who we are and what he's put us here for in downtown Fort Collins. So let me ask in closing two final questions. Would First Presbyterian Church be missed if we were no longer here? What do you think?
Yes.
Yeah. What you said. Would anybody even notice? Yes. Because as you can tell from the works, you know, some of these things are kind of big or bold and known by many, but most of it is undergirding, loving, serving, putting your shoulder up underneath other people. And not a lot of name recognition comes out of all that. But God is at work here. And it's really important. Because if we weren't here, there would be this hole that darkness would fill. This is an incredibly important church that needs to believe in itself. Love itself for the sake of others. What I see is that God is on the move. And the only last question is, will we join him? Let us pray. Oh God, what a privilege for me to be a pastor of this church. What an honor. What an amazing thing you've been about since those earliest days. What a wonder and a glory we get to be part of it. Oh God, give us courage to join you. You're on the move. Help us get in step so we don't get left behind. Help us do our parts for your pleasure and delight, and for the sake of the world around us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. be seated. I'm going to ask for some folks to come up here in just a moment. This is not written into the bulletin, and that's because there's a little bit of surprise in it. But our service is going to go just a few minutes later than a normal one-hour service, so don't be worried about that out there. I want to ask all the children to come down up through fifth grade, and I want to ask the staff to come. And I want the staff to stand around the edges. I'd love to ask the kids if you'd sit right here on the seats. And Jack Miller, would you come up and join us as well? Jack is the head of the Presbyterian Church Foundation. Jack is also on the SNR, Stewardship and Resources Center, and he's on our generosity team, and he's going to be talking about giving.
Oh,
there you go.
That's what I always like to talk about. And I realize I'm the person standing between you and a hamburger or a hot dog. So I'll try to make this quick. Boy, what a posse I've got here.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you're all here. Do you all know what this is? What is this? A bowl?
Yeah.
What else? It's kind of a special bowl, isn't it? See inside? Huh? For the offering budget. That's very good. Okay, so I'll tell you what. This is all about tithing. And, you know, tithing is where you put some money in the bowl, and then that goes to pay for all of these people and all the work they do. Pays for our lights. Pays for this building, pays for everything that is this church, and it also helps people who are less fortunate than we are. Right? I think Pastor Paul just talked about that, didn't he? Now, I have in my possession from my father some silver dollars, which he left to me and my brother and said, I don't care what you do with it, but do something meaningful. So, for each of you, I have two Susan B. Anthony, uncirculated, silver dollars.
Ooh.
Now, what I'm going to see, and Miss Alice is going to hand those to you. Now, we're really trusting about this. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take those back where you sit with your parents, and I want you to consider whether or not you'd be willing to put one of these silver dollars in this plate. The other one you may keep, and you may use it to buy school supplies or whatever you want to do with it. But that's my request to you. You think you can all do that? I think you're all infatuated with the fact we're giving you money. Okay, so each of you have two silver dollars. Remember, try to, if you will, put one in the plate when it's passed down the aisle. This is your gift to God. And you keep the other one in your pocket for whatever you wish to do with it. Is that fair? They're all the same, so you don't need to compare notes. They're all the same. All right, now, has everybody got their two silver dollars? They're all the same, aren't they? Well, I hope that you will do and help do God's work through your personal gift. So with that, I'm going to excuse you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you go back to where your parents are.
Thank you, kids.
Gee, we had some left over. And the money, by the way, the money that the children choose, if they choose to put it in the plate, that's going to go for the challenge. Now, let's have a word about the challenge. You've heard all about this challenge we've been doing. And I hope my slide guy up here is ready with the slide. But it's about a lot of things, but it's also today about all of these folks. And in these envelopes that Paul's holding, there is a bonus check, which originally was going to be 5%. But due to the success of the challenge, it's 6%. So each of them we're going to present one time 6% of their current salary to say thank you for all that you do for all of us. So if you all would stand.
Virginia, yay! See ya.
Thank you. Now, just a word. We have 1 week left in the challenge. As of Friday, the challenge counting the original gift of $50,000 is now $143,000. So, there's still time. The money came from all of you and many more, and in fact, a number of visitors to this church on Sunday morning also contributed. So I thank all of you, I thank all of our visitors, and I thank all of you. Go with Godspeed.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to ask Cindy in the pastoral prayer that she would include our children, our staff, and you as a congregation.
Well, you've probably noticed a theme about God's great faithfulness to us. And so we get to pray to that great God in gratitude for his faithfulness to us and ask him to continue to work in our lives. Let us pray. The psalmist writes, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." Gracious God, we thank you for the mighty acts that you have done in and through this congregation across the generations. For 143 years, you have been faithful to this congregation through good times and bad. You have sustained us, healed us, provided for us and for ministry, blessed us, and used us to be a blessing to others. We are so grateful to you, and we pray that we would be able to trust in your great faithfulness as we move into this coming year. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, you have called us into the world to proclaim your grace and love. Help us trust in you and continue to live for you, even when the stock market falls, acts of terror are committed, and tensions between nations grow. We thank you for our partners in Zambia, Nigeria, Liberia, and the Dominican Republic, and for the opportunity to join with them in their healing and redemptive work. We thank you for our missionaries who are helping your gospel be made known throughout the world. We thank you for the many local organizations that are caring for people and helping empower them to rise out of poverty. And we are grateful that we can partner with them in this important work. Yeah, God, we are aware that the needs throughout our community and world are so great. Deprivation, violence, poverty, and other kinds of suffering are rampant. God, we ask you to reach into the places of darkness with your light. God, raise up your people to join you in the redemptive work that you are doing that is so needed. Raise each one of us up to do the part that you have for us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord, who is the head of the church, we pray for the church universal. We pray for protection for those who are being persecuted because of their faith. We pray that you would bring your spirit of peace and unity. We pray that we would be effective witnesses for you. We pray for our own congregation, that you would continue the good work that you have begun in building us up together in love and service. We pray for this coming program year as we seek to grow in our faith and as we seek to strengthen the ties that bind us together through food and fellowship together in our MX program. Lord, we thank you for our staff and for all our volunteers, for their hard work and dedication to you and to your church. We ask you to bless them, to guide their efforts, to hold them up, and to work powerfully in and through them. God, we thank you for the children of our congregation, for the new lives that you have brought even in this past year, God, we pray that they would grow in faith and discipleship through their time here. We thank you for each person who is part of this congregation. We believe that we are not here by accident, but that you have called us to be together during this time and place, that we might grow in our faith and share it with others. We pray for those who are sick or struggling in any way. We pray for all who are grieving the loss of a loved one. We ask that your Holy Spirit be a comforter and healer and would bring peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now, Lord, hear us as we pray together the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thinking about the silver dollars that Jack just gave, where he gave those and is asking the children to consider giving half, everything that we have has been given to us by God. And we have the privilege of, in gratitude, giving back to God through the giving of our tithes and offerings.
you have a widow's mite or a silver dollar or a large check, we bring what we have and we give back to you a proportion that you might use and use in great and expanded and multiplied ways. Because the needs are so great and the darkness sometimes so thick, we pray that you would do something more than just throwing money at problems, but that you would bring, Lord God, redemption and using this money towards that end. We pray in the beloved, the beautiful name of Christ Jesus. Amen. The greatest beauty that God brings from the sacrifice of Christ is peace with God, which becomes for us, translated, peace with one another. Peace of Christ be with you. Would you share that with each other? blessed to be blessings. And so if you've received a blessing, please go give it away. But stop for lunch on your way. Get lunch first, and then go bless our world. To the end that that our world would be blessed, because it needs so much blessing. Through people like you and me, little people, but people who make a difference by showing up and doing the right thing. Towards that end, I'm going to pray for grace over over the lunch, and then a blessing. Lord, would you take the foodstuffs, the things of creation, and so inhabit them that we might know your love, that we might even taste and see that you are good, and that you would bind our hearts to one another in greater love and in fellowship during this picnic. Love for you and love for one another and for our world. We pray for your blessing upon this lunch. Now, that you might go as God's blessing to the world, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, his full presence, that he might give his full attention to us and give us peace. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you.